And I want to first of all, before I get into the message, first of all, show my gratitude, express my gratitude to you, Cross Culture Church, as we have entered our 40th year of ministry, formerly Abundant Life, but for entrusting us with the stewardship of your souls, because it's a very serious matter, is where you entrust your souls. When you place yourself under a particular ministry, your soul is involved in the whole process. And in that, God is giving us the responsibility to watch for your souls, to watch for your souls. And in that, I don't take that lightly, but I take it very seriously. And I trust that as we continue to watch for your souls, knowing that we're not perfect, but we serve a perfect God who will show us together the direction that we're to go, the things that we ought to see. But even as we're trusting God to show us, you trusted me and the rest of us as leaders to be there. And as we trust God and give you what God has given us, you've received it not as the word of a man, as Paul said concerning those that were his followers, but you received it as truly the word of God. So I just want to thank you first and foremost for your trust in the Christ in me, the Christ in us, the Christ in us. And I just want to also thank all of our leaders, my assistant pastor, Pastor Greg Johnson, Carol Johnson, and all of our elders. Elders, would you stand so that they'll know who you are? The elders of Cross Culture Church, we want to thank God for our elders that have stood faithfully with us over these years, and the board. We'd like for the board members to stand, our board members to stand as well. We praise God for our board members that have stood faithfully over these years, and it's a lot of work that they have been engaged and involved in to keep ministry solid and firm, and we just praise God for their faithfulness, and our staff, the staff of Cross Culture Church. Would you stand? The staff members, they're the ones that help to keep me in line. So we praise God for our staff and all of our leaders, all the leaders of Cross Culture Church. Would you please stand? All of the leaders, if you're in leadership in any capacity, would you stand so that people will know who the leaders are within this ministry? And we praise God for your faithfulness, your loyalty, your devotion, and all that you contributed during the year of 2020. And as we are entering into this, we call this the year of 2020 vision. And I began to do a little research as to what the number 20 represented, because we have, this is the first time that we would experience this in our lifetime. 2020. I mean, there's no way to put that combination together again, except if you said 2020 or 220 or whatever, but that's we're talking about infinitum. We're talking about, and I trust all of us will be at the Lord before we see 2020 connected together again. But the number 20 is a symbol of union, of the union of the beyond and the reality. Let me repeat it so you can really hear it. It is a symbol of the union of the beyond and the reality. In another way of putting it, when I looked into this word 20, it also said it is successfully completing a trial. Successfully completing a trial. But I'm going to be talking about, it's going to make sense to you when we continue on in this message to understand what it means. We talk about this union of beyond. And the reality, 2020 vision. You see, the Bible helps us to understand it. I won't go through Zechariah and all the other scriptures where God spoke to prophets and asked them, what do you see? What do you see? I've done much teaching on that. And then in one scripture, he says, you see well, and I'm ready to perform my word. So God gives the prophet a eye test, and he says to him, what do you see? What do you see? And when we begin to see with the Lord, he was really asking the question, do you see what I see? Do you see with me what I'm seeing? Can you see with me what I'm seeing? And that has to do with positioning of the people. It has to do with God posturing us so that we're not at a place of seeing things as we might have seen them in the past. We're not looking at life from the perspective of our own experiences or the things that we might have encountered, so to speak. But God has a way of posturing his people so that we begin to see things as he sees them, as the Lord will see them. So 2020 vision has to do with God bringing us to a place where we can see with him what he is seeing. Not just, and here's something else I want you to understand, that we talk about this move of God that was prophesied and this move of God that we see in the process of developing. Because we understand the vision of God begins small. But then the Bible says, but the latter end shall greatly increase. So we've been praying for God to manifest his presence among us. It's not just miracles, signs, and wonders, but contained within the presence of God are miracles, signs, and wonders. But what we've been believing God for is his presence. The presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. And when the presence of the Lord is among us, it is not just one of us that will be used by God. See, the focus will not be upon me alone. It will not be upon a few of us. But when the presence of the Lord is among us, all of us will be so used of the Lord. And I believe that's going to be the test of the 21st century believer, is that it's getting the focus off of an individual so that there are no superstars in the kingdom of God. But we'll be brought to the place of understanding that God can use any of us, and his desire is to use all of us. So that's one of the things that we're going to be pressing into very strongly, is to understand that God is desirous of using every believer. We're talking about the priesthood of the believer. Every believer, you are a priest. You are a king and a priest if you are a believer, and that God is going to use you in that capacity. Now we talk about beyond. Let's go back to that beyond. When it talks about the union of the beyond, the union of beyond means that what God is doing, he is helping us to see the prophetic, futuristic. We are looking beyond things that are beyond our experiences, because we see what we experience or what is observable. But God is bringing us a place where we can see beyond what is observable, so that we don't become a prisoner of what we see or what we were capable of seeing without him. Some would think that when we talk about beyond and futuristic teaching or preaching or seeing beyond, they see that as being over the heads. They said, what you're saying is over my head, that you're speaking in a way that I can't really, my mind cannot wrap around what you are in fact saying. Let me tell you something. It has to go beyond what your mind is capable of wrapping around. You see, let me give you a wake-up call. Let me shake your world by letting you know that the things that God has in store for us is beyond what you can ask or think. So don't think that it's not God because it's something that's beyond your capacity to manage or to reason. Because it could very well be because it's God that is beyond your ability to reason. When God brings past experiences into a clear perspective, see, he makes sense out of what at that time did not make sense. It didn't make sense at that particular time. But when God brings perspective to it, that which didn't make sense begins to make sense. Isn't that something? Just chew on that for a moment. Selah, that's a Selah moment. Think about the thing that didn't make sense when it was happening. But then as time goes on, God gives you a different perspective and the thing that didn't make sense begin to make sense. And that's where we lose a lot of people, is because when it didn't make sense, people don't want to invest their time and energy in something that doesn't make sense to them. And they miss God in the process. So now we talk about that beyond. How do we see beyond? God is about, this is all developing discernment. Bring us in a place where we're developing discernment. We'll be able to see into a thing. Not just see a thing, but see into a thing. Having insight. And spiritual discernment comes as a result of spiritual maturity by reason of use, having your senses exercised. In other words, what do you see? Now God will begin to show you something else or say something else to you. Now what do you see? I always give that test that takes place when I'm getting an eye test. He would say, which is better, this? Then he switched to another. Then he switched back to the other until he finally bring things into clear focus. And when he brings it into clear focus, then he takes them both. He's working on one eye, then he works on the other eye. When he brings it into clear focus, then he stops it. He said, now I can write your prescription based upon the corrections that are required for you to see well. You see, what God does, he brings about the corrections so that we are capable of seeing. And that happens through time, and it happens as a result of developing spiritual discernment. This is our 40th year. 40th year of ministry here at Cross Culture Church, formerly Abundant Life Church. And something that came to mind, my son Maurice, when you were sharing with us, something came to mind when he talked about the 40th year. What came to my mind was the fact that when you put 20 and 20 together, what do you come up with? You see, 20 plus 20 equals 40. So now when we begin to look at numerology and you begin to really think about what is really occurring, I mean, this is so simple. This is so, it's so profound, but it's simple, how clearly God is speaking to us. I mean, even through numbers, how clearly God is speaking to us. Somebody asked me the question, what's going to be the theme for 2020? I said, that's a no-brainer. Well, what are we going to be doing in the year 2020? That's a no-brainer. I mean, how much clearer can God make it that this is the 2020, and our 40th year? Now, this word 40 has to do with testing, coming through a test. We mentioned already that 20 has to do with successfully completing a trial. At 40, they wandered 40 years in the wilderness. But it was in the 40th year that they came out of the wilderness. So I said, how much clearer? So it is saying, the prophetic word that was given to us by Alan, it is saying that there's something that God is showing us, something God is about to say and do among us that will go beyond whatever we might have gone through to get there. See, God is going to prove himself. God is going to make himself known even through what we might have gone through. It's going to make sense to us. Why did we have to have the challenges of the past? Why did we have to go through? Why did we have to go through even the pains of the past, but also the glories of the past? There were some good things. It wasn't all negative. There were some powerful, mighty things that God did in the year 2019. So the scripture that I want you to turn your attention to, I want you to turn to right now, is in the book of Acts. And I want you to turn to Acts 20:20. Let's go there. Acts 20:20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. Now, does that make sense to you? Are we still on the same page? Do you think God's talking? Okay, let's go there. Acts 20:20. Here's what it says here. This is Paul speaking. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to the Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read it out of the New Living Translation. He says, I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear. I did not shrink back from telling you what you needed to hear. Now, why was it necessary for you to hear something that might have appeared to be over your heads? Why was that necessary? It's because what God was taking you, there's a union of the beyond. God was saying there's a connection between the word of God and where God desired to take you. You see, so now what is he doing? He's attaching you to his word so that his word can carry you to the place that he has before ordained for your life. Do you see that? I mentioned early on in the message at the end of the year when Peter asked the question, if it be you, bid me come. And when Jesus spoke the word come, Peter was standing on the word. He was standing on the word. When there's nothing else to stand upon, he stepped out of the boat that was carrying him and began to stand on the word. So as he was standing on the word was enough to support his weight. Whatever he needed in order to be on solid ground, that word had in fact provided that. As it is with all of us, it is the word of God, but here's what happened. He had to get out of the boat in order to stand on the word. So now, when we begin to look at what he is saying here, and this is what he says, I didn't withhold anything. I didn't shrink back from telling you what you needed to hear in order to stand, in order to be established, in order to be made strong in the things of God. Now, whether you heard it or not is still your prerogative, but God said some stuff to prepare us to enter into 2020. You see, we did not just enter into 2020 without a word preceding, but God said some stuff to get us ready for this particular year. That's why it's important. That's why it's significant that we pay close attention, take heed to the things that God is in fact saying, even when we don't fully understand. Now, watch what happens. He says, I didn't shrink back. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear, either publicly or from house or in your homes. You see, what you're hearing from the pulpit, we begin to see it. We want to hear it echoed. We want to hear it, that the word spoken, it's said many times over and over within houses, every household. These are our connection groups. That what are you saying? Reiterating what you've heard. Now you're saying it in words that people can understand, and you're speaking the same word in languages that would be more palatable to the ear of the hearers. But he says from home to homes. That's why we have home groups. And that's why it's important that you understand what God is doing when we go from house to house. He said, I have had one message. He didn't come with two messages. One message for the Greeks, for the Jews, and Greeks alike. One message for the rich, and the same message for the poor. Same message for people of one culture as well as from a different culture. You see, you don't change your message based upon the environment in which you enter into. But that message is conducive to any and all environments. When you see people would look and say, well, you're saying when you go overseas, we look at how the power of God fall and how lives are changed and how look like you become a different person. Let me tell you something. The same message that you hear is the message that they hear. You see that? So God doesn't give us a different message. He may use different means of expressing that message, but it's the same message. It's the same message. The Lord is showing us how consistent he is in getting his message across. And what is that? the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God and of having faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the message? The message is repenting from sin, turning away from sin. But when you repent rather of sin, that has to a 180, and then turning to God. And then when you turn to God, trusting Jesus Christ to work in you that which he intends to work through you. So now there are three things that happens as we come to the place. He said, I didn't shrink. I never shrank back from telling you what you needed to hear. Now here's what you have to understand. The things that we're talking about here. He said, we look at the experience. The experience. As we look back, he said, I kept back nothing that was helpful for you. He said, we look at our own experiences. Now, I'm asking you to think about your own experience now. Think about what you experienced in the year 2019. What did you go through? Think about the things that you faced. Think about the challenges that you encountered. You see, whatever happened in 2019, how did you see it? How did you view it? What perspective did you have on what took place in 2019. Some of you are saying that was a rough year. All 2019, we really went through. I mean, we made some decisions, and some of those decisions were good decisions, and some of those decisions were not so wise. But when you go back and you begin to look at the experience, you see, now you begin to see the experience. Now, if you isolate the experience from godly perspective or what God has to say, then you can say, that was a tough year, and I'm so glad that 2019 is over. But here's what God does. Here's what God does. He takes our past, and he gives us something that we didn't have beforehand, and that's called an enlightened perspective. An enlightened perspective. What I mean by that? What God does, he takes us through the year. And then he says, now when you were going through that, this is how you felt. And when you look back at it, this is what it looked like. But when he gives you an enlightened perspective, he says now, as a result of spiritual enlightenment or spiritual understanding, he says now, I'm changing your lenses. I'm giving you some different lenses now. This is what it looked like. He said, your weakened vision had you to see this way. He said, now I want to change that. He said, now what do you see? Is it this one or that one? And then he continues until he finally gets things into proper perspective or to focus. Then he says, now look back at 2019. Now what do you see? Now you see things differently. You see you see every challenge that you had in 2019 as a building block, as something that God was in the process of developing within you. Rather than just, you see, there was something that God had in store for you. There was something that God had in his mind in relation to you throughout all of 2019. And he kept saying, do you get it yet? Do you see it now? And what happens when you come through that, then number three, it becomes your testimony. It becomes your testimony. And you say, through it all, what did Andre Crouch say? I've learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. So now, here's what we mentioned, 2020. He says, now, if you go down to verse 26, let's look at Paul sharing his testimony. See, we look at the testimony. What happened, he builds within us a testimony through our experiences. The things that we go through in life, God builds a testimony within us. So here's what Paul, I'm not reading all of the testimony of Paul, but you know the story. He was persecuting the church, and as a result of persecuting the church, He had this divine encounter where the light began to shine from heaven, knocked him off his beast, and the voice came to him and said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And it's hard for you to kick against the goads." And then he finally got to the place of asking the question, "Who are you, Lord?" And it's important to understand that part is because he recognized that that which was challenging him was not against him, but was for him. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" I believe the awakening took place when he realized that this is not the one he needed to be fighting against. You see, he was fighting against that which he ought to be yielding to. So the wake-up call came when he was able to call that which was working, that he was fighting against, to call it Lord. "Who are you, Lord?" And then he says, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting." And it's hard for you to kick against the goads. Now, I want you to do a particular thing. Now, watch what happens here. Let's read this out of Acts as he's sharing his testimony before King Agrippa. Acts 26 and verse 15, he says, So I said to him, "Who are you, Lord?" And he says, "I am Jesus whom you're persecuting." But then he says in verse 16, but look at this now. "But now rise and stand on your feet." Now rise, church. Listen to me now. He is saying, now, where were you first? The way you saw things was you were fighting against what you ought to have been defending. You were working against what you ought to have been embracing. But he says, but now what happens is knock you down. What knocked you down? What knocked you down was your perspective. What kicked you down was the fact that you had the wrong perspective. He says, now that you've been kicked down, knocked down, get up. You did it your way. That's what Frank Sinatra is saying, right? I did it my way rather than God's way. So he says, now get up. Get up. Understand what he means. Think about that for a moment. Look at the mercy of God. Look at the mercy of God. Now that you got the person that's working against you down, what would you will to do? You would like to keep them down, wouldn't you? When you win, when you pin the opponent down, the thing you want to do is hold him down for the count. But he says, I got you down, but I say to you, get up. He gave him the word, but get up, rise, and stand on your feet. But suppose I wasn't changed when I was knocked down. Suppose I was faking it when I called you Lord. Suppose I didn't mean it. When I stand back up again, what am I going to do? I'm going to use the strength that I have against you again. I'm not going to be a defender. You see, what'll happen in many instances, the person will say, "Well, I'm going to be on your side as long as you have the advantage. But when I get up from here, you wait and see." But a transformation occurred. He had a different perspective. You see, and that's what happens. Some people, they go through things, but their perspective doesn't change. But when your perspective changes and God says, get up, you get up as a different person. You get up as a new individual. You're not the same person that was knocked down, but that I'm glad, Lord, that you knocked me down. I'm glad, because if you had never knocked me down, I would still be fighting against you. I'm glad that you won the battle over my soul. Now watch what happens. He says, now rise and stand on your feet. He said, because I've appeared for you for this purpose. I showed up and identified myself as to who I really am for a reason. Now understand, that's the word of God now. Jesus is the word of God. I gave you the word for this purpose. I spoke to you the way I'm speaking to you for this purpose. Why are you saying to me what you're saying? For this purpose I've appeared unto you. He said, to make you a minister and a witness, to remake you so that now you're not serving yourselves. You're not about self-serving, but you're about serving me, a minister unto the Lord. I can use you as my vessel. I can use you now. But I couldn't use you until I knocked you down. Now I can use you. Your failure is really your success. Things not working was the best thing that could possibly have happened in your life. That God didn't let it prosper. God didn't let it go the way you tried to make it go. He says, I'm going to make you now. I'm going to remake you. I'm going to make you something that you weren't beforehand. See, you were selfish. You were conceited. You were arrogant. You didn't have any humility. That's all of us. He said, it was all about you. What can I get out of it? When God got through, you see, he says, I want to make you a minister and a witness. He said, now watch what he says here. We mentioned, he go back into the past. He said, of the things which you have seen, we mentioned early on, the things that were part of your reality, because you see, your truth now is being modified because your reality has shifted. You see, your truth is no longer truth, but it's shifted. He said, are the things that you have seen, the things that you have seen, these are the things that you have observed in the past. He said, but I'm not leaving it just at your past, but the things which I have yet to reveal to you. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tie them together. I'm going to take what you have seen and what is yet to be revealed to you, and I'm going to connect them together so that now what will happen, your life, you see, you can reflect upon the past with your focus upon the future. This is where God wants his people to be, so that we, as the people of God, can become a prophetic people. We're not just living, we're not a prisoner of the past, but we did learn from the past what God desired for us to learn. And now our focus is to take our experiences beyond what they would have been otherwise. He said, the things that I have yet to reveal to you. In other words, now, if God was in all of that, then I can trust him to be in my future. The things that God revealed, God is going to show me something beyond what I currently see. That's what we can trust. That's why we can say that what God is doing is just the beginning of what God is about to do. You see, one of the things that God had to do, God is doing in us, he has to get us free of our perspective of signs, wonders, and miracles. Do you see what he has to do? Get us free of that. Because what happens, for the most part, people have a skewed view of what signs and wonders and miracles are all about. You see, they begin to isolate the signs and wonders and miracles, not understanding the right perspective in which signs and wonders and miracles are to operate. So then they say, all we want, Lord, is for you to make us a man or woman of faith and power so that whatever we decree comes to pass. God said, you got the wrong perspective. How dangerous you would be if you could walk around and decree everything. I decree and declare. Put that in right perspective. I decree and declare. You see, that blessings are coming your way. Bless, 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 bless. Like a machine gun. I'm just blessing everybody. Just bless, 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 bless. Money cometh. Money's coming your way. You're going to be blessed. You're going to have. For what? For what? Why should God do all of those things for you when you have the wrong perspective? You see, if anything, it would be so used in order to shroud the reality of Christ. See, even miracles, signs, and wonders can be so misused that they keep people away from understanding Christ rather than seeing him as he really is. I'm holding some of that because I got a whole lot I want to say about those kinds of things, but I want at least throw that out just for good measure. He said, but understand, I have revealed myself to you to deliver you. To deliver you. Wait a minute. Do I need deliverance? Yes, you do. He said, to deliver you from, first of all, from your own people. Now, let me help you. Let me help you. We have a few Filipinos. We have a few Africans. And we have some Jamaicans and some islanders and the rest. But the majority of our folk are people of African descent. And I want to deliver you from your folk. I want to deliver you from being so African or African-American that you can't see anything but your ethnicity, you see. That your Afrocentricity is the thing that drives you towards your goal and your ambition. I want to show you how African I am, or how black I am, or how white a person may be, or how Filipino you may, whatever your culture may be. You see what I mean? He says, I want to deliver you from the people that you're accustomed to, from your Americanized mindset, so that you don't become so westernized that everything about you, so politicized, that I'm so democratic or so Republican that every decision has to be measured by my political party. You need to be delivered. I want to deliver you from those things that you're so closely attached to that's hindering you from seeing me as I really am. Am I helping you? You need deliverance. You see, the Lord is saying, and let me tell you something. Let's go on. I want to deliver you. He mentioned from the Jewish people. That was the hang up there, because Judaism is religion as well as the culture and the race and all connected. He says, so I'm delivering you from the Jewish people. He says, but also as well from people that's not like you. Now, wait a minute. I'm delivering you from your own people, but I'm also delivering you from the people that you're sent out to minister to. Why would that be necessary? I need delivery from the people that you've been assigned to minister to, but also the people that has great influence over you. I'm delivering you from trying to be something that you're not. That you don't have to be white. You don't have to be the majority culture. You don't have to be, you see, in order to be at a place to think you have anything of quality within your life. There is a deliverance that has to take place, because some people think that, you see, if whatever, you see, what happens sometimes, resentment is really a way or means of high admiration. If we resent a particular people because we admire them thinking. You know, I get so tired of hearing folk talk about, man, the man. Yeah, wait a minute. If he has all that sense and he's all that and a bag of chips, then where's your God working in you? So really, it's really a secret admiration. You see that's there. But the Lord says, whatever it is, you need to be delivered, because I'm going to bring you to a place where your confidence is not in any other than Christ. He says, so now, he said, from the Gentiles. But here's the other part. But he sends us out to minister to all. Do you see that now? So now, that's why we're a cross-culture church. Even though, see, thank you, Brother Allen, again, because the door that will be an influx of people from, because they're going to get over, they're going to be delivered from their ethnicity. They're going to be set free. People are going to be searching for the truth, wherever that truth may be found. And it won't matter whether you're black or white, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're educated or uneducated. You'd be surprised the criteria that people set as to whether they can receive from a particular individual or not. You'd be surprised. They couldn't receive from Christ. They would not be able to receive from Christ, because they would say, Christ, what's your pedigree? In other words, who's your real daddy? And then what school did you study under? Show me your credentials and the like. And then Peter and John, you guys, unlearned and uneducated. So we definitely can't receive from you. I got a whole message on that too. I'll get to it later. It's all in this message. That's why I said we could stay here for 5 hours and we won't even handle what I have in my notes here, but I won't do it to you. We're going to be out in a few minutes now. I scared some folk. That's why I said I better let you know. But understand this. He says, I'll deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, but I'm sending you to the world. He said, but the objective is open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified in me. Therefore, man of power, man of authority, man who can make decisions, whether it be for life or death, the man who pulls the strings, I'm standing before you testifying, but I'm not shaking, and I'm not being shaken by your authority. Are you hearing this now? I'm not shaken by your authority. But I stand before you as one who's confident in the one that's called me to be a minister and a witness. Oh, it's going to take that today because things are being shaken now. A lot's going on when it comes to the truth of God. He says, but I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. I heard from God. I heard from the Lord. And since I heard from the Lord, it is in what he has spoken, is in that which I stand, the heavenly vision. But I declared first to those who in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and then I went to the Gentiles, that they should repent, same message, turn to God and do work fitting repentance. Now, seeing God's hand, the Lord's hand, moving in every experience, encountering him in everyday life, God gives us a message first before we enter to the deeper levels of experiences. We don't enter into those experiences without a word preceding. The word was preparatory. He gives us a preparatory word, then he leads us into the experience. I call this warnings. He warns us, forewarnings. He gives us warnings and forewarnings. He helps us to see ahead of time, but also encouragements that we not be alarmed when certain things happen a particular way. Now, look at how Paul puts it as he enters into some of those experiences, because he had some things to happen to him. Things that happened in 2019 to us. As we begin to reflect upon it, Philippians 1:12, he says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me, let's stop there. Things that happened to me, think about your things that happened to you. The things that occurred in your life in 2019. The things that happened that caught you by surprise. Those things that caused you to be alarmed. He said, the things that happened to me, now in retrospect, because God has changed me. I've gone through it. I didn't understand it when I was going through it. But now in retrospect, I see it differently. The things that happened to me, how do you see them now? They actually have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Lord, I didn't know how you were going to open that door. Why would you show us a Home Depot with the tools? Why would you give us an open heaven? Why would those things happen? What process would we have to go through in order for those things to occur? He said, this is what it took in order for that to happen. The things that happened to me. Now, Paul is speaking from prison. He's locked up. His life is in danger. Paul said, the things that happened to me, they didn't just happen, but they happened for the furtherance of the gospel. How is God going to get his message across? I don't know how he's going to reach all these cultures of the world in this day and hour, especially how messed up things are today. How, Lord, are you going to pierce and penetrate all the barriers that have been established in the lives of so many? But God has a way of doing it. All he's looking for is a people that's willing to go where he's willing to go. That's why I said it won't be a man of faith and power. It's going to be a people of faith where the power and the presence of God will reside. God's presence among us, because you sent into Metro Atlanta and into the world can do much more than six or seven of us or one of us could do if we were to go out there. Can you imagine a church full of people empowered by the presence of the Lord? And now you're like the wind that go wherever God will for you to go and do whatever God will for you to do. He said it happened for the furtherance of the gospel. He says so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard, all the guards, because they heard the message. He locked him up, but realizing his message locked them up. And all the rest, it didn't stay with the palace guards. It began to get into the palace, and all the people of high authority and power began to hear the message of Paul, who was in prison, in a dungeon with chains, that my chains are in Christ. The reason that people treat us the way they treat us, receive or reject us, is because that's the attitude that they have towards the Christ that's within us. Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. This is really the expression of one's truest attitude towards Christ. You see, if we do things that could actually contribute to people having an attitude towards us, then that's us. But when our lives are committed to Christ, our intentions are to please him and him alone, then when things begin to happen against us, understand that it's not just measured towards us, it's measured towards the Christ that's in us. Are you seeing this? He said, so however Christ, that's why the Lord began to say, why are you persecuting me? The reason he said, why are you persecuting me? Because he identifies with his own. Now, we mentioned presence early on. The objective is for God's presence to be among us in such a way that when they see us, they see the Christ in us. Now listen to this now. Listen to this. The things that happen. He said, my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, and much more bold to speak the word without fear. Things that happened, 2020. Things that will happen. Things happened, 2019. Things that will happen, 2020. Why they happened. Why they will happen. God is helping us to know beforehand. Is because of our assignment. Our assignment. We are ordained by God. You and the things that happened and will happen are ordained by God. They are ordained by God. The things that have happened and the things that will happen. Now, wait a minute. That's not que sera, sera, what will be, will be. It's saying that God has knowledge of everything that has happened, but he also has knowledge of everything that will happen. But here's where we come into the picture. Lord, I don't want to work against what you will to happen in my life. Even though you know what will happen, I want to be a full participant with you in what you desire to see happen in 2020. So that has to be our resolve as we have entered into this new year, Lord, since you already know what's going to happen, and you know my frame, you know my rising up. Wait a minute now. See, let me help you understand that. I know you're sitting down here right now. Did God make you stand up? I'm sitting down. I'm going to sit down for a minute. The question is, did God make me sit down? Let me see now. I think I'm going to get up again. Did God make me get up? That's real simple, isn't it? If God made me sit down, then it's on God. See, I wouldn't have sat down unless you made me sit down. But did God know that I was going to sit down? You see, now we're looking at the sovereignty of God and a man's free will. That's how simple it is. See, he knew I was going to sit down, but he didn't make me sit down. Is that making sense? Is that making sense? He didn't make me sit down, but he knew I was going to sit down. Now I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to shake Doug. Did God make me shake him? Was his will that I shake him? Huh? You see that now? Was it his will that I shake him? It wasn't his will that I shake him, but God knew I was going to shake him. But suppose I do what God would have me to do. God said, come over here and give Doug a hug. Did God make me hug him? You see, but I participated. Listen to what I'm saying. I participated with God. Even though God knew, I participated with him and what he desired to take place within my life. So the same thing applies with each and every one of you. There's a lot more. I'm going to quit right now because I see so much I want to get into. I'm going to quit right here. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us to comprehend you in such a way that we're not blaming you for things that we might have neglected or things that could have very well disappointed you, even though you knew and you know all things. My prayer, Lord, is that in this year 2020, that we will see with you, our hearts will be joined, and that we will learn, even as your word will speak to our hearts to move us in a particular direction, that we would move in that direction willfully, because our souls would have been so aligned with you. So, Lord, bless now, even as we see you moving. We see your hand moving among us. We give you the honor, we give you the praise, and we give you all the glory. In the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.